Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as I said earlier, six women developed blood clots after receiving the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. Six. I mean, this is so far what the reactions that we've gotten. Six women got blood clots out of something like 6.8 million people. Literally one in a million. And the FDA and the CDC have called for it to be paused. I guess they're going to do some more research, do some more something. Question is what happens to all those people who had shots lined up for the next couple of days? And is this a smart thing to do? Here to share some thoughts. One of those folks who today was ready to go, be jabbed with the needle, was ready to get his vaccine, the one dose Johnson & Johnson, only to have it canceled. That's why I've asked Bill Scheer to come talk with us. He's a contributing editor of Politico magazine and someone who didn't get his shot today. Bill, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be with you.
So, no shot. Bad thing.
I was 2 hours away. 2 hours. And, you know, I'll tell you, I was angry. I was upset. I was really hoping just to have us all be done with. And I have a piece about this, by the way, coming out in the Washington Monthly tomorrow morning that I wrote over the course of the day. You know, when you're a good liberal, this kind of when a government action negatively affects you, it conjures up some mixed emotions. You have that kind of knee-jerk conservative libertarian response: how dare the government, you know, mess with my life like this? But if you give yourself some time to, you know, think about more rationally and let your emotions catch up to the news, you'll start to, you know, get back to having some perspective again. And the thing that, and one thing that complicates is social media. There's always going to be second guessers, and now the second guessers can pour onto social media right away, and that can almost become the established narrative. So you had a lot of folks understandably saying, six cases out of 6 million people, 7 million people, that's statistically insignificant. Why would you have this pause and inject all this uncertainty and increase vaccine skepticism?
That's where I was at.
Are you going to end up hurting? Are you going to cause more damage, have less vaccines in people's arms than if you just kept quiet? But here are the nuances to the problem. So number one, we don't know if there's only six cases. There are six reported cases. We don't know if there's any causality to it. We don't know if the vaccines actually cause the blood clotting, but the scientists want to know more.
Right.
They need more data. And number three, the specific kind of clotting that occurred should not be treated the way other kinds of blood clots occur. And doctors need to know that. So if there wasn't any time to communicate to the medical professionals, you might get more deaths as other clotting episodes materialize. And there might be cases that have already happened that weren't as severe as the six that they are aware of, but you want to know about the mild cases because you're trying to learn
right. What
actually happened here. So there is there's actual value to the pause to get more data, understand the data, and communicate to doctors, what do we do about this? And in the meantime, you have other vaccines. You have Pfizer and Moderna. Now, look, I'm annoyed because I would have been done today. And according to the CDC's definitions, 2 weeks after your last dose, whether it's a second dose of Pfizer or Moderna or the one dose J&J, 2 weeks after that, you're fully vaccinated. I would have been fully vaccinated as of April 27th if all things went according to the initial plan. Now, I was able later today to get another vaccine appointment. Took a little doing, but I got there. It's for Pfizer. It's a two shot. I was able to schedule both appointments. So my second appointment will be May 7th. I'll be fully vaccinated as of May 21st, about 1 month later. That's no big deal, so long as I don't get COVID between now and then. If I did, you can imagine I'd be very annoyed. However, if I get COVID between now and then, it's because I did something.
Right.
I engage in something. I mean, not saying I'm not the most reckless person in the world, but, you know, people aren't perfect. I have gotten government information to social distance, wear masks, sanitize my hands, etc. The government is still trying to do things to help me, in it, including the development of these other vaccines. Whereas if the government knew information about this blood clotting episode and was nonchalant about it, and they kept having the J&J vaccine, and there ended up being more episodes, then our federal government becomes directly responsible for those deaths. So that's why it's hard to judge this just in terms of a raw number thing. There's also this question of who's responsible here. We have to expect our federal government to give us information that we can use, and so we can act responsibly. And if we don't, then it's our fault, and then not the government's fault.
No, I'm with you on that. And, you know, as I was reading through this, you know, I was going, you know, yeah, it's one in a million. It's six women out of 6.8 million. And yeah, it's only one in a million. And that's not bad unless you're the one in a million. Right. That's usually me.
And obviously, you know, odds are very low here. And it should not make anybody skeptical about the vaccines in general. Remember, the Johnson & Johnson's only got distributed as of 6 weeks ago.
Right.
The Pfizer and the Modernas have been going out for a longer period of time. And we know there have not been any severe reactions to that. So there's no reason for people to be broadly suspicious about all vaccines, because not only do we have this episode, but the government acted responsibly in reaction to it. No one's hiding the ball here. I mean, that's what we want is credibility. We want is transparency. We are getting that. So let's not that make us become hyper conspiratorial. Let's accept the information that our government's giving us and proceed accordingly.
Yeah, but what I find interesting is the people who are the most apoplectic over this are the ones who were never going to get the vaccine to begin with. This just plays into that. And look, you know, I am, you know, kind of going, you know, how many people are going to die because they didn't get the vaccine? And if you have to weigh that, you know, which is smarter? You know, is it to keep giving the vaccine because you need it, as opposed to, you know, we know more people are going to get sick by not getting it. So there's a calculation there. And I see your point. Our government has come out and said, look, this is what we're looking at. We want more information. We're going to pause it. And especially since, and again, my first thought was, how much of this has to do with the Johnson & Johnson mix up in Baltimore? You know, are there other places that have had, you know, mix ups where who knows what could have happened in the manufacturing process?
And we're doing something that is very unusual, to roll out vaccines this quickly, this urgently, in the wake of a pandemic. To expect things to go off without a hitch is not realistic.
Right.
The fact that it's gone as well as it has is quite amazing. So I think we've got to be careful not to nitpick and get all bent out of shape every time something doesn't go exactly according to plan. We're trying to vaccinate, you know, hundreds of millions of people in a very short time frame, and we should not be shocked that there's some hiccups along the way.
Right. And look, you know, you're talking about six people, and this is where the punchline was. You're talking about six people who they could have gotten blood clots because they sat too long waiting for the vaccine to happen. The drive was too far. Cause I got buddies of mine who are truck drivers. They've had leg clots because they sat too long.
I mean, all sorts of reasons why it could happen. Now, again, and I'm not a scientist here, so don't take my word for anything. But hearing that these blood clots need to be treated differently than other kinds of blood clots makes me think it's not
okay.
The regular kind of blood clot.
Could it be birth control pills? Because, you know, as my wife reminded me, birth control pills themselves cause blood clots.
I mean, again, that's you so need much to of that have stuff. More research
right.
done here. And so they should proceed. They should proceed cautiously. And meanwhile, there are other vaccines on the market to be had and should be gotten. We should be thankful that we that the government has been as involved as it has been.
Yep.
As being as transparent as it has been. And things are going in a good direction overall, even though things aren't absolutely 100% perfect. And that brings me to a larger point, I think, when we talk about just the Biden administration government in general. I think people have criticized the Obama years as imperfect, didn't go big enough, didn't go fast enough.
That would be me.
And all Biden had to do is just deliver good things, do nice things, and be competent, and everyone's going to love you. You're going to win elections. And I mean, yes, you should try to do nice things and be competent. But if governing was that simple all the time, we wouldn't have so many complicated problems.
No, you're right.
I mean, here's a situation where, you know, Biden has competent people taking it seriously, clearly better than we were in the Trump administration. But some decisions come down the pike that just don't have neat and easy answers. And even competent people are going to make decisions that not everybody is going to like. And if we set expectations too high and say that Biden is going to be some kind of, you know, superhuman.
He's not the savior.
Not a savior. No one can be. You have to balance the desire to push for bigger and bolder things with some expectation setting so people don't get all out of kilter when things don't go absolutely perfectly.
No, you're right. So the solution here would no more women get the vaccine.
Well, I mean, I've heard some people say, well, they shouldn't have stopped J&J for everybody. They should have just stopped it for women. That would have helped me. But again, I'm not the scientist. Do I know that this only affects women just because this very, very, very small data set of six people were all women? Maybe there's some men out there that had the blood clots. They just haven't been reported yet. You can't know. So that's why I think they erred on the side of caution here.
So you're not buying the former president's theory that Biden did this because he has Pfizer stock. Is that what the story is? That there's a big conspiracy because we're trying to push the Pfizer. Is that what I'm getting?
Maybe Trump had the Johnson & Johnson stock and he's upset with how this has gone. He's projecting onto Biden.
But what I find interesting about that is the fact that he would come out with that tells me that that's his thinking of governing. And it's what we lived through for the last 4 years. Usually the first thing that comes out of somebody's mouth is what they would do in this situation. I fully believe that that's what he would do.
I think Trump, you know, projected, you know, all the time. That was his go-to move, to accuse the other guy of what he was doing himself or what he would like to be doing himself. And this, you know, this is an unusual ex-president who is not going to do the go away quietly thing. Is not going to do the elder statesman thing, could well be running again himself. And so he is inclined to attack the way he always has and not worry about if those attacks are at all based on any kind of evidence.
Yeah, the one thing I'm happy about that he's still flirting around with the idea of running is there'll be no Trump presidential library because he's still thinking about running. But the thing that scares me is I think if he runs in 24, he could win.
I mean, I don't think Trump is very well positioned to win again. I think he, obviously he has his hardcore base. I think he has damaged himself, you know, not just amongst Democrats, but amongst the middle of the country as well. So I think he would have a hard time, but we certainly can't assume this early out that everything in 2024 is going to be pointing the Democrats' direction. We have no idea what the economy is going to look like. We have no idea what kind of foreign policy crises could materialize. We don't know what kind of health condition Joe Biden's going to be in. So there's lots of things that could go wrong.
Yep.
That we can't know in advance. And look, and certainly when an incumbent president is having a problem for whatever reason, that's good for a challenger, whoever that challenger may be. So that would be a situation where Trump could try to play an I told you so card and sneak back in there. But probably Republicans would be better off with somebody who is not named Trump and didn't have nearly the kind of baggage that he would bring into any kind of campaign.
So Ivanka's not going to take his place?
Well, apparently she's skipping out on the Florida race. So maybe, I don't know if she would want to do it, or if Don Jr. wants to do it, or if Laura Trump wants to do it. I mean, this family is crazy enough that maybe more than one would do it, and they'd have a family fight in front of our eyes. But I'm one to believe that the Republican Party would be well suited to move on from Trump and pick somebody for 2024 who had a cleaner slate. And the question becomes, will the Trump clan allow them to do that?
Yeah, it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like the party's ready to do that yet, especially if you looked at the Women for Trump rally over the weekend. But I did real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts of, you know, the rollout of the vaccine overall. I think Biden has done a very good job. I think we've brought back some, some confidence in government. And I think this is part of that. But I'm curious your thoughts so far of these first several weeks.
Look, I mean, I think the fact that the vaccine trajectory is going in the right direction, more and more every week, the relief money is getting out the door, that passed very quickly, obviously, are strong points in Biden's favor. I think what's tough for Biden now is everything else. There is not a whole lot else Biden can do at all with just 50 votes in the Senate. Even when he can get 50 votes, he can't get done quickly. Infrastructure, a good chunk of it you could do with 50 votes, but he does not have 50 votes in hand to pass a bill today. There's going to be weeks and months of negotiation to figure out what can be passed. So the one thing I think he hasn't done is figured out how he can build on the success that he has, because he took the shortcut to get what he got quickly. And that shortcut's not always going to be available to him going forward.
No, I understand that. But, you know, for me, you got to get the infrastructure bill done. And if Republicans aren't going to come along, you've got to go the route that's available to you. And you've got to hold Democrats accountable. You got to pull them in.
I mean, I think that's right. I mean, the catches are, one, what will be allowable in reconciliation. You can't do everything you want infrastructure through reconciliation. And that's a bit of an unknown. No one knows exactly what the parliamentarians are going to rule on each individual piece of this. So that's murky. Then there's the question of, what do you have 50 Democrats unified for? You have some Democrats saying we have to remove the salt cap. This is the thing that's hitting the Northeast states and California the hardest, where you can't deduct all of your state and local taxes anymore. Some folks are mad about that. Joe Manchin thinks that Joe Biden's corporate tax hike is too much. AOC and others say Biden's bill is too small. $2 trillion is too small. It should be $10 trillion. How much are they going to dig in their heels on that score? And if it's decided, if Manchin forces you and says, look, I'm not even going to do any reconciliation with you, I'm going to make you talk to Republicans, does that force them to go down from $2 trillion to $1 trillion or less? Because Roy Blunt's out there talking about $618 billion for something that's limited to physical infrastructure. If Biden shook that hand, got that handshake deal today, AOC and others probably walk. But if we're 4 or 5 months into this, we're banging our head against the wall, will some Democrats say, well, geez, maybe $700 billion is better than zero, so I'll take it.
Yeah, you got to take
a
win.
There's a lot of moving pieces here, and a lot of uncertainties, and it's not going to be a quick win the way the relief bill was a quick win.
No, we've got a long months ahead of us. And every day, my problem is every day our infrastructure grows more decrepit and more crumbling, and the Chinese are moving that much further ahead. And we're just mired in this kind of this division where we just can't seem to get anything done.
Well, you know, China doesn't have a problem like a legislature to have to worry about to pass to do infrastructure investment.
There is that. They don't have Senate where all progress goes to die.
I mean, as I tell folks, you can pull infrastructure. Should we spend $2 trillion infrastructure? You'll probably get a poll number and say, absolutely, 60%, 70%. Now talk about the project happening in your community. How easy a project is that to get done? Because almost every infrastructure project engenders some opposition somewhere, somehow. And since this is a slower moving train, this bill, a lot of opportunities to nitpick, to criticize, to twist and distort, to rail on one hand and then beg for their own little earmark on the other. It's going to be a complicated process.
and fun to watch, and we'll have a front row seat. But Bill, I appreciate the time. As always, fun talking with you, my friend.
You too. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Bill Scheer, contributing editor there at Politico Magazine. Make sure you check out his work at BillScheerMedia.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.